Hi, I'm John Ellis, and you're about to hear something recorded overnight on a snowy Wednesday in February 2015 for Aberdeen Cyrenians. This story, in the company of Cyrenian Scott Baxter, centres primarily on a couple of brothers.
We're in a football field. It'd be like any football field in any kind of community. What we were told was that there were three guys sleeping up here, come up to obviously see that they're all right. Just one guy here just now, and we've left him some soup. He's not obviously keen. He's a bit startled that we've come across him, a bit startled. So I've left him with a hot flask of soup and just encouraged him to bring back the flask and maybe see if there's anything we can do to help out his situation.
This is the sort of thing where you don't know anything about his background just now. You know that his brother was sleeping here with him, but You can't. It must be soul destroying to take something to him and not be able to do something else for him here and now.
Well, we kind of know where he is. There's always the opportunity we can drop in by, and you know, I could just kind of gently encourage him to come in. We don't know the reasons why at this stage, why he's having to feel that he's sleeping rough in a tent in a wood.
So in the snow, in -2 temperatures.
So yeah, it's obviously you worry when you go away, but you know, you can only just kind of gently try and reassure folk that you're not a threat to them, and hopefully they'll come down and sit down, and then we can start working through the issues. But it's never kind of immediate. It's maybe taken a while for this guy to end up in this situation, so to expect it to suddenly resolve itself,
you can't establish trust when it's probably been dissipated over a period of time.
I'll look as dodgy as the next bloke. So.
One brother huddled in a tent, the other, on this occasion at least, slightly further afield, in the centre of town. He was more comfortable speaking to us. So how long had he been living in the tent?
About 7 weeks.
7 weeks. And do you move during that period, or have you been in the same place?
The tent's been pitched in the same place, like.
Okay. And how many people have been there?
There's the three of us. Myself, my identical twin, and my son. Myself and my twin were staying with my son, and then he got evicted through rent arrears. We ended up staying with my ex-wife in her tenancy. And then my son fell out with my ex-wife's partner, so we got kicked out.
And from there, you've been in the tent for 7 weeks. Is this your first period of living in that sort of situation?
No.
So when have you done that
before? I've been on and off homeless for 12 years.
Okay. Is something you get used to?
No. I haven't got the mindset to get used to being homeless. I like to advance myself, so I don't like being down and on my arse. Yeah.
And tonight, slightly different?
It's better than usual.
Yeah? Not sleeping outside tonight, hopefully?
No, hopefully not. But out of the last 7 weeks, I would say myself, I've been in the tent maybe about a week out of the seven.
And the rest of the time?
The rest of the time, staying with friends.
And outside, just now over winter, is it much more difficult than?
Oh, it's murder. Like, about, what would it be, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we were actually having to run for the tent, and we were at an angle like that, and the wind was holding us upright, and that kind of angle.
And tonight, you'll be thankful you're not outside. It's -2 overnight tonight.
This is cosy. Seriously, this is cosy.
Okay. And your brother, you know, he'll be okay tonight.
He's depressed as hell. He's needing to see his doctor and get a referral to Cornhill, to be quite honest. It's a bloody shame. I mean, we're identical twins. There's 23 minutes between us. But I'm bipolar myself, but I seem to cope with it a lot better than he does. He's been diagnosed as drug psychosis, but I think he's bipolar as well. My mother suffered from it, and I'm quite certain they've misdiagnosed his condition.
Do you think anyone will help you? Do you think you're able to help him?
I'm getting plenty of help, but he seems to have given up. I can like take him along to appointments and stuff like that, but he's got to do something for himself also. That's it.
It's a Wednesday evening. It's about 12:30. It's not quite as cold as we thought it might be, but it's cold enough.
Yeah, temperature's dropping a wee bit. Certainly not as cold as last night, but nevertheless, when you're out, and we've been out for a few hours now, it's starting to feel the ears burn a bit and the eyes water a bit, yeah.
You can possibly hear behind us, there's a few guys and a bit of a rammy going on in a midweek night out.
A good bit to drink, making a bit of noise and having a wee punch at each other by the looks of things. But
certainly not conducive to getting a night's sleep.
Well, certainly not. I mean, you can hear the gulls, there was an alarm going off earlier, but I suppose, you know, people try to get their heads down where they can get their heads down, and where we're at, we're overlooking the spot right in the heart of the city centre that people will probably walk past and not give a second glance, but three guys are sleeping out the way, trying to get some sleep.
To your knowledge, how long have they been in that park?
Certainly, I've been aware of them being there for about 3 or 4 weeks. There was two individuals, there was actually five down there, and two, fortunately, managed to get accommodation yesterday. So obviously that's a good thing. We're obviously hoping to engage with the other guys to see if we can help steer them towards getting more permanent accommodation as well.
And are these guys, are they, what you know of them, are they sleeping there at night and then going into any kind of work in the morning?
Yeah, well, certainly the two that got accommodated yesterday, two of the guys were actually working and getting up in the morning, going to their work and then putting their heads down there at night.
For however long, in whatever circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just in that spot. Literally yards away, still in the centre of town, close to thriving businesses.
Obviously someone is asleep in there at some point. Kind of mattresses and stuff.
A few hours in one city, more affluent than most, searching for people who, in the main, try to survive undiscovered by others, simply attempting to snatch a few hours of broken sleep. Somewhere. Anywhere. Just beneath the surface. Back in the warmth of the Cyrenians the next day.
It's always very difficult to definitively say actually how many people are sleeping rough at any one time. For instance, I mean, we are working with 25 people that we know that are in that kind of situation. Some who've been sleeping rough long term, medium term, and some who are periodically homeless for a night or two. So it's always very difficult to definitively say at any one time how many people are sleeping rough. But on top of that, those 25, we're aware of at least another 20 through our experience, through what we hear, through our work with other service users that are sleeping in a variety of different situations throughout the city. As we saw last night, people are sleeping in woods, for instance, and we're aware that there are people sleeping in different parts of the city, in woods, in cemeteries, down at the beach, up the estuaries. So a variety of different places that people are actually sleeping.
How come, you know, in a city as affluent as this part of the world, and okay, it's maybe going through its own trials and tribulations just now with its economy, but how, in this day and age, in this area, can this still be such a prevalent case?
Well, there's some particular reasons, particularly in Aberdeen at the moment, why there would appear to be an increase in people sleeping rough. Often that's to do with extortionate house prices within the private rented sector, where people have maybe been in tenancies, but their landlord has realised what they can achieve from their rent, and therefore people have been asked to leave the accommodation, and finding other accommodation is very difficult. There are a range of other issues in relation to, we have seen a reduction in frontline services across the board in terms of access to mental health services, learning disability services, alcohol, drug services, etc. That compounded with, I suppose, national issues around welfare reform only can go to compound the problems for individuals, as well as we are in an area where, as well as high house prices, there is a lack of accessible social housing. And where you have a situation like that, and there's increased demand on that, inevitably people will not be in a position where they'll be accommodated in reasonable time. So therefore, if they're in a transition period, they may have to sleep rough until they can access more permanent accommodation.